Friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, welcome once again this morning. I want to just spend just a minute to introduce our guest speaker today, Mr. Steve Hollich, our good friend. He's been here for many times in the past years. He's so kind to come to preach to us this morning and share gospel with us. I'm so glad to have him. He also brought his wife Denise and his son Daniel to be with us. Please welcome him.
Well, it's a joy to be with you all this morning. I've always liked coming out here. It's been a while. I can't remember if it was last August or when my last time here was. But so greetings to those who are here with me in the room, and greetings to those. Where's that camera? There it is. There it is. Greetings to you who are watching via live stream and who may watch this afterwards. So I say hello to you all. I miss you all. The only benefit of you all not being here is I get a parking spot right across from the door. But other than that, I would turn that in to have you all back and to enjoy the luncheon that the EM and the CM have had. It's such a sweet time together. So I miss you all, and hopefully Arthur will invite me back beyond June the 6th when you get back to normal. So greetings, and we miss you. And just a word of encouragement as you are possibly must stay home, is that the Lord still ministers to you, that the Holy Spirit is not bound by this room or by anything else, that he still ministers his word to you via this worship service as you take up the means of grace, and that you should ask him to help you. And he'll bless you during this time, which is really abnormal in the course of our lives, and yet the Lord loves us, and he'll continue to manifest himself to us. So let me pray for our time as we open God's word this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, that we have this incredible privilege that you give to your people to open your word, to consider your word that is above all words, that in the end, when your Son returns, it will be this word that will stand. All other words will submit to your word. They'll either be found contrary or they'll be blessed because they're in accordance with your word. So we ask now that you would help us. In the Psalms, it says that in your light we see light. So we ask now that you would send the light of the Holy Spirit as we consider your word, that we might see Jesus and be conformed to his image. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the letter of the Hebrews, to the letter to the Hebrews. And I'm going to read two portions from Hebrews. We'll start off in chapter 1, and I'll read from verse 1 into chapter 2, verse 4. And then I'm going to read one more verse at the end, which really helps set the stage for what the writer is trying to do with this letter, what his goal is in writing this letter. So please hear the word of the Lord starting in Hebrews 1:1. Long ago, and at many times, and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God, and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name that he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son"? And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. But of the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end." And to which of the angels did he ever say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? Therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Well, let me ask you, how are you doing? How are you doing? How have you been doing over this last year, a year and a half? I expect there's a variety of experiences. I have to confess, I rejoice, and I'm probably in the minority, that the last year or year and a half has probably been the greatest year of my life. I think that's particularly the case because I've spent so much time in God's Word, that I was under the Word so much that the light of the Word just shone on me and shone on our situation that we see throughout our world. That we know who's in charge, ultimately. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father, waiting for all of his enemies to be made a footstool. And that although the economy may be sluggish or hospitals are overwhelmed, God is still building his kingdom. Because nobody thwarts his hand. In fact, in the midst of all the difficulty, all these things are working to accomplish his good purpose. Because he is Lord of all. All spiritual forces are under his hand. All the forces of his created order are under his hand. And the souls of all men are under his hand. There's nobody who is not under his authority, who is not under his rule. And even more so for those who are his people. Upon those whom he set his love, whom he's given us new hearts and new ears and new eyes. That he says, as the writer to the Hebrews says towards the end of his letter, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is a promise that will not change because God cannot change and he cannot lie. And he calls our attention to his word all the time, that we would build our lives upon his word and upon his promises and upon his warnings, that we might not walk by sight, but walk by faith in the truth that God has revealed to us. One day it'll be very clear who is king. We don't see it right now. Christians look like everybody else. But there's something different going on in their hearts right now. The lordship of Christ has been established. He's given you a new heart, a heart that loves God and wants to obey him. And the word of God is the food that strengthens your faith. But one day the Lord will return and everything will be seen for what it is. Nobody hides from God. I think on one of my former trips here, I preached from John's Gospel. I think it's John 5, where basically Jesus says we all have an appointment with him when he returns. Every man and woman and child who has ever lived has a scheduled appointment with him to hear their final destiny. And nobody will be kept from that appointment. You may have made appointments to get your COVID vaccine, and maybe it was canceled or failed or something. But the Lord Jesus has said there is a day when he will return, and you will hear your final destiny from his lips. And that's what the writer to the Hebrews wants to make sure is, make sure you make the right choice. Make sure that you're not deceived. Make sure that you're not confused. Because as we go through the week, we get confused. And yet the Lord has given us the Lord's day to readjust our thinking. To readjust our thinking so that it is right and correct and clear. And he brings us back to Christ particularly. And so as we look at these words this morning, I have to ask, where are you? Are you doing okay? If you're doing okay, we have great reason to rejoice, but maybe you're not doing so good. Maybe this last year, a year and a half, have been very hard. And I know that the attendance here is about what it was the last time I was here, but it was much more back before COVID. Maybe you have lost friends. I've lost two dear professing Christians in my life over the last year and a half. Very sad. Maybe you've lost loved ones due to COVID, or you've just lost loved ones because of it's just life. And maybe you're dragging. Maybe it's hard. And yet the letter to the Hebrews is to wake us up and to bring us back to reality, to remind us that we have a hope, as I think Arthur said, we have an anchor for our soul, not here, but in heaven, because Christ has entered heaven. And our anchor is there with him. And the letter to the Hebrews is to make us move towards that day, to not be sluggish, to not be slow, to not be behind in our growth, but that we might fulfill the calling that God has for us. And so as we come this morning, we have great hope because it's God's word that's going to speak to us. God's word in the letter to the Hebrews is for us. It's for us to build us up in our most holy faith. And as we look at the audience to whom the letter is written, because we don't know who the author is, many people have speculated, but we really don't know, but we know it's the word of God. But we have a sense of who the audience is. Some men have had better ideas than others, but it's a group of people who are lagging for some reason. They're giving evidence of not a healthy spiritual life. A very, very serious lagging where the writer even says, I'm afraid you might deny the Lord. I'm afraid that you might fall away, which means I'm afraid you might perish. And you might think, well, I'm not there. I'm not in that place right now. Well, maybe you are, maybe you're not. But these warnings are not in vain. These are not idle threats because people do this. I'm sure you have friends that you walk with in the Lord for some period of time. And then they left the Lord. Some have become atheists. And the question is, what's going on? What's going on there? And the writer says, wake up. Make sure you're not one of them. Make sure that you know that you have the grace of God, that you're his. I think of a certain situation. I was a PE major. Some of you know that. And so I was involved with sports. So I'll look at different things in sports over time. I'm just kind of curious, who has certain records in certain sports? And there was this one person who had the opportunity to set a record. And they were a professing evangelical. They were professing Christian. And they would have been in a place like this on the Lord's Day. They would have been at the front of the crowd praising the Lord. And this person had the opportunity to set a record, and they did. They set the world record in their activity. And I've watched this person perform their activity, and it's beautiful. It is flawless. But what's very, very sad and is to the point of this letter is that this person now is a practical atheist. They are not following the Lord Jesus Christ anymore. When at one point it seemed like they were a vital Christian, that's no longer the case. And it's brought great sadness in the Christian community. And so this letter is for our warning. For our making sure that we are following the Lord. Because the salvation that the Lord gives to his people perseveres to the end. Doesn't mean we're always doing the best that we can, but we keep moving on. We keep going on. We keep pursuing Christ. And so my doctrine for this morning for this letter is the letter to the Hebrews is an essential, expedient exhortation. An essential, expedient exhortation. As you can see in your outline, I'm going to deal with these words in reverse order. It seems a little odd, but I think it'll make sense as I go through this. And so the writer is warning these people to wake up, that this is an exhortation. I just realized I didn't read the last verse I was supposed to read, which is Hebrews 13:22. And this is a purpose statement. It tells us what the goal or the way in which this writer sees his letter. Hebrews 13:22 says, I appeal to you, brothers, bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. A word of exhortation. Now, an exhortation can be an encouragement. It can be an encouragement, like, come on, you can do it, let's go, you know. Or it could be like, wake up, let's get going. So the whole point is that this writer wants these people to wake up. They're exhibiting characteristics that are not healthy. So it's an exhortation. An exhortation is a way to urge or advise or caution someone earnestly, to admonish urgently that something's not right and you need to help this person see that. That's what this exhortation is for. You caution someone. You want to make them to be more alert, to be wise in a hazardous situation. If you've ever ridden on certain highways, you know there's these grooves on both sides of the road. And why are those grooves there? It's to keep you from going off one side or the other. Because I know I've hit those grooves. I'm driving down the road and the right side, which is, you know, sometimes could be like hardly any ground beyond that. You hear, whoa, 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 whoa. Or if you go to the left, you go too far. Whoa, 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 whoa. And so in God's word, we have promises and we have warnings. And those two keep us on the right path. We're not just people of promises, but we have to hear the warnings of God too, if it's appropriate. And so God has given us this warning here, this warning to these people who are listening to this writer, to keep them from going off the road of Christ, of following Christ. It may seem harsh. It may seem blunt. I can remember the first time I ever really read through the book of Hebrews. I was afraid. Some of the things that are said in there are very sobering. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We had a reading from Numbers, and the whole book of Numbers is an amazing book of God dealing with Israel under Moses' leadership. And the Israelites suffered because they disobeyed God. And Moses suffered because he disobeyed God. Moses didn't enter the promised land because when he was commanded to speak to the rock for water to come forth, he struck it twice. And God said, you won't enter the promised land because you did not treat me as holy. Moses had kind of lost it because the people were unruly. He had a horrible day, but it cost him entering the promised land because of that, because he too had to treat the Lord as holy. Even though he was the leader of the people, of this great throng of people, he too had to treat him as holy. And we see that God would just kill people in the book of Numbers because they were disobedient. They would lose numbers because of their disobedience. And the writer to the Hebrews says, don't be one of these. Don't be one of these by leaving Christ, because Christ is the only way of deliverance from the wrath of God to come. Proverbs 27:5-6 says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. That's kind of hard to hear, but it's absolutely true. If somebody comes to you and says, Steve, in my case, you're doing the wrong thing. This is really dangerous. That's a blessing. I may not like to hear it at the time. And I've heard a few of these things over the course of my life. And hopefully I've repented. But it's a blessing. That's what the Word of God says. And that's what this writer to the Hebrews is doing. He's giving them this blessing of a rebuke. We see this in everyday life. If you've ever played sports, you've ever been involved with music, your coach or your teacher says, come on now, you can get this, come on, let's go. They're trying to help you do better. They're trying to improve your performance. And you don't want a poor teacher. You don't want a teacher that always says, or a coach says, oh, you did a good job. What is that? It doesn't tell you anything. It doesn't make you better at what you're doing. And it would be wrong for Pastor Sue or Pastor Wang to say, hey, good job. And that's it. Because, see, they're under the authority of the Word like I'm under the authority of the Word. And so we want to know exactly what's right and what's true. And so this is a great gift from the Lord. Like any rebuke, any correction, it's a blessing. And particularly in this case, because if they don't follow this rebuke, if they don't follow this exhortation, they will perish, it seems, because of the circumstances in which they're involved in right now. So first, this letter is an exhortation. And second, it's an expedient exhortation. An expedient exhortation. Expedient means tending to promote some proposed or desired object, fit or suitable for the purpose, proper under the circumstances. In the realm, again, of coaching or being a music teacher, it's very hard. It's really hard to know your students well or your players well. So you give each one exactly what they need. Some people need that proverbial kick in the pants. Some people need, come on, you can do this. Come on, I know you're capable of more. And this letter is perfectly fit. We know it's perfectly fit because it's not just the writer who's writing this, but it's the Holy Spirit behind this letter. That in God's wisdom, this is a part of our canon of Scripture. We can't just say, well, I just don't like that book. That's a negative book. No, it's essential to our Christian life and our understanding of the Christian life in the world. Because, like I said, you will see people turn away from the Lord over time. Maybe dear friends, you walk with them for years in the Christian life and they walk away. But this rebuke will always be there. This will always be a testimony against them. They've had the warning. We've had the warning, but it's here to keep us from going off the path and leaving Christ. And it's perfectly fit, as hard as it may be to hear it, perfectly fit. So it's an exhortation. It's an expedient exhortation. It's perfectly formulated for this audience and for us. And finally, it's an essential expedient exhortation. It's essential that they needed to have this information. If they didn't get this information, as I said, they may have perished because of the symptoms that they have. And we're going to look at these symptoms. As we go through the book of Hebrews, it's very clear that the writer has seen things that are not good. I'm sure at some point over the last year and a half you thought, do I have COVID? I've been tested twice for COVID. I remember the first time, it's like, are they trying to touch my brain through my nose? That thing is so painful. I had tears just pouring out of my eyes. But I'm sure you've wondered, do I have COVID? You know, and you don't know what COVID will do to you. It seems to have different effects. But you're concerned. You want to know, what's going on here? When I was younger, well, 10 years ago exactly, or I guess it's 12 years ago, I had this discomfort in my chest. And for a long time, this one doctor thought it was like acid reflux. And acid reflux is not pleasant, and he gave me some things to take for it, but that didn't fix anything. Finally, I got an EKG. He says, I want you to go to the cardiologist. I had a heart attack. I had a coronary artery that was 90% blocked. It's called a widowmaker. If I didn't know that, if I didn't get that warning, my wife wouldn't be here. Arthur would have to get somebody else to speak. My son wouldn't be here. And my wife would be a widow. And I'm grateful to the Lord because I knew of somebody else who was my age when they had a heart attack and they died. I know it's a mercy. It's a mercy from the Lord. And I'm indebted to that, to God's kindness in that. You know, we go through different tests. We check to see if we have cancer. Or even in the Scriptures, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he says, make sure that you're in the faith. Test to see if you're in the faith. So it's a very, very serious evaluation. And the writer to the Hebrews has seen these certain symptoms, and he's going to give the exhortation in light of that. Here's some of the symptoms in Hebrews 2, 1 to 3a. There's a possibility that they would drift away. Therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? See, this is not just COVID. You know, if you die of COVID and you're the Lord's, you go to glory. But if you die without Jesus Christ, you will perish eternally. You will suffer the wrath of God for yourself for eternally. And so there's this possibility that they might drift away. And so that's one of the reasons he gives this exhortation. Hebrews 3:12, they might fall away. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. Now, we all are prone to some measure of hardness of heart at some point. We're always prone to some degree, even as God's children. We get upset and we don't forgive easily, but hopefully, Lord willing, we eventually forgive someone, or we don't harden our hearts towards someone, but particularly that we don't harden our hearts towards God. And so he's like, don't do this. Don't have an unbelieving heart where you fall away from the living God. Hebrews 4:1, there's a possibility of failing to reach heaven. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. This person I spoke about earlier, the athlete, right now it doesn't look good. And when I first considered this person, I prayed for them. I'm not the Lord. And God does, he is incredibly kind and he grants repentance. But right now, it doesn't look good. It looks like they are in danger of not reaching heaven. Hebrews 5:11 to 12, he says, you're dull and you're behind in your spiritual growth. The writer says, about this we have much to say about the priesthood of Christ, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. Now, in child development and in every other way of things we're trying to get better at, being behind is a sad thing. It's a sad thing. I know for parents, if your children are behind in something, you're very concerned. Will they be able to make it up? Will they ever be at that level they're supposed to be? And the writer's saying, some of you should be teachers. Now, this is a very sad thing to me because I've been an elder for almost 30 years. And I think, have I hindered anybody's growth? In my lifetime, have I kept people from being what they're supposed to be in Christ? When I taught PE, I knew there were certain people who would be better athletes than me. They had better physical gifts. And I rejoice that they could be better than me. And in the Church of Christ, I know I'm not the end-all of everything. And there will be people who will come up who are younger, who have great gifts and talents that the Lord would use in a way way beyond what I might do. But what a sad thing that they never used them. The Lord, as we see later in the book of Hebrews, expects a return on his grace in our lives. Talks about the rain falling. He wants a crop. We should rejoice that we get to serve the Lord, that we get to bear fruit for him in the maximum way that we can. When I first came to Christ, I looked through the scriptures. I looked for all the heroes, and one of them was Daniel. You know, Daniel was handsome. He was smart. He had everything going for him. And I remember sitting in a seminary class, and I'm thinking, I want to be a Daniel, you know. And I'm sitting under this one professor. I thought, I don't think I'm a Daniel. I think this guy's way above me. But I'll be less than that for the Lord. But I don't think I have all these gifts. Some people have them. It is rare in the body of Christ. But some of these people have incredible gifts. But whatever the Lord has given us, whatever the amount of talents that we have, when we're thinking in our right mind, we want to maximize them. We want to do as much as we can for the Lord. Above all other things in life, we want to serve the Lord as fully as we can. And yet he says, you're behind. Some of you should be teachers. That's amazing when you think about how much the church needs teachers. And he's saying, you're not. And you should be right now. He says, you need milk and not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. The Christian life is not an idle life. It's a life of thinking. When we come to worship, we're to think about what we're saying. When we read the scriptures, we're to think about what we're reading. It's amazing, as I've read the book of Hebrews and I've spent more time than usual, what a thoughtful book it is. There's a logic to what he's saying. But that's true for all of God's word. Ultimately, God is behind it, and he's the ultimate teacher. He works through these men, whoever write these books. But there's a logical, rational thought pattern that the writer has for a certain reason. If we don't understand it, I understand that. I don't understand everything in the scriptures. I've been a Christian for 47 years, and I assume I'll be learning to my last breath. But the point is, there's something to think about. He doesn't want us just to, oh yeah, I know that verse. Okay. No. What does it mean? What does it mean? How does it impact my life today? Everything in the Word is for my living now in this world. But that comes from practice. We have to be critical about what we're thinking. Does this please the Lord? What scriptures inform me on this? We have to think through those things. That's what he wants us to do. He doesn't want us to be dull. A coach doesn't want dull athletes, you know. They want them to be thinking like at peak performance when you're playing a game. Every moment counts. And that's exactly true for the Christian life. Above all things. This athlete, in a sense, gained a piece of the world. Jesus says, what is a profit of man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? This man just got a sliver of the world. He holds a world record. But right now, it looks like he'll lose his soul. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm not the Lord. But we have to go by fruit. We have to go by appearances in some sense, outward fruit. We're not trying to judge the heart. All we can do is look at the outward ways. And so we see this great, great fear that we have to be warned about. We think about Judas. When Judas betrayed Christ, the 12 didn't know which one it was. At least at that point, it's like, is it me? Is it me? They didn't say, it's Judas. We all know that. They didn't say that. There's no record of that in the scripture. Later on, we find out that he pilfered out of the money bag, but I think that was hindsight. My assumption is they kept saying, you know, for some reason the money doesn't seem always to be there. But it was afterwards they realized that Judas was the one that took it. But they didn't know it at the time. So everything can look normal and right to a certain degree, but yet behind the scenes there's something else going on. And so we need to be warned about these things. Hebrews 10, 26 to 31. Another part of this warning. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. There's only one sacrifice for sins. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. But a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. You know, I think sometimes we just think everybody loves Jesus. Everybody must love Jesus. He's so wonderful. And a Christian, I can understand why a Christian might think that, but that's not what the Bible says. There'll be those who love Christ, and there'll be those who hate Christ. In John 9, when he heals the blind man, the Pharisees hated him. He did this incredible, wonderful work on this blind man, and they hated him. And that's the way it will be until Christ returns. There will be those who hate Christ. And so we need to think about this. We need to think about these warnings and sort them out. Where are we in these things? In the end of this passage, it says, "For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay.' And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." You see, in the end, when Christ comes, either you will be in him and you will be saved from the wrath to come, because God is still holy, and the only safety is in the ark of Christ. But now is the day to get into the ark. Now is the day to be his. There'll be a day when it won't happen. Over the last few months, I've been serving down in Warrenton, Virginia. And I got kind of an initiation on my last trip down, or recently. I hit a deer. It's very rural. I'm driving home from a session meeting at 11 o'clock at night, and a deer came out of this, out of the median strip. I had no time to stop. I hit the deer. I got deer fur in my fender. My car's in the shop. I was very fortunate. I know sometimes you can hit deer, you can get killed. I even know more so how dangerous a car accident can be, because my mother's parents were killed in a head-on collision in Urbana, Illinois, back in 1958 or 59. But see, we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. The writer will say this over and over again. Today, while it's called today, because we don't know if we'll have tomorrow. Lord willing, we'll all get home safely from worship today, or those at home will have a safe day, but we don't know that. Our experience even tells us that. And so the writer to the Hebrews is saying, are you ready? If you were to die today, would you be in Christ? And so it's a wonderful, wonderful exhortation. But which is wonderful, be in Christ, but it's to grow in Christ. That's the calling that we have as his people, to be holy, to grow in our holiness. I think holiness is an ugly word, in a word for some Christians even. It's like, no. This is your glory. Be holy as I am holy is the command of the Lord. So we have all these warnings and concerns. Is there any hope? Is there any solution? And the answer is yes, there is. First of all, he wakes them up. He wakes them up with these warnings. He says, look, you've got to think about what's going on. You know, if somebody's got an illness and the doctor warns them, they're in a fork in a road. They're going to listen to the doctor, or they're going to continue on their bad habits and pay the consequences. And so the writer warns them. He says, wake up. Think about who you are. Think about Christ. So what is the main thing he does? He puts Christ before their eyes. That is the main solution. That's the main remedy. You need to go back and look at Christ. I don't think you understand Christ as well as you should. I don't think you realize that Christ is the final communication of God before the Lord returns. This wonderful thing, consider him. Consider him. Chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all his house, in all God's house. That he wants us to set Jesus before us, and that's what we do on the Lord's Day. We come back, we hear the exposition of the word. When we're able to, we have the Lord's Supper. That we might feed on him, that we might consider him better, that we might understand more clearly what he has done. How every aspect of Christ's work fits our need as sinners fallen in Adam. As every aspect of Christ fits our need as a sympathetic high priest who knows what this last year has been like in some way. Because he lived in the world and he was the target of the sin of the world. So we need to consider Jesus, and that's one thing the writer will do over and over again, is bring him before their eyes. He's better than the angels. For some reason, these people had angels higher than Christ. He's better than Moses. For some reason, these people had Moses higher than Christ. He's better than the Levitical priesthood. He is the great high priest. His sacrifices are better. They accomplish more. They don't just sanctify things in this world. They lead you to heaven. We sang that. Christ is going before us into heaven with his own blood as the great high priest, and it's been accepted. So now he is the one through whom we can have eternal life. We're waiting for his return. We're waiting for his return. And even though things look pretty bad, the writer says this in Hebrews 6, 9 to 13. Though we speak in this way, and it's right, you know, the doctor's got to tell you, Steve, you got to lose some weight. You know, he tells you the things you need to hear. Though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things, things that belong to salvation. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints as you still do. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Patience is probably one of the virtues or the things we've needed to exercise over this last year. As hard as it's been, it was an pretty easy year for me. I had to study and great time. My wife's a principal. She'd get calls at 5:30 in the morning. Oh, I had a contact with somebody with COVID. What do we do? We closed down a whole grade. We closed the school. Should we quarantine? What, you know, this was like all the time. And this is like on top of everything else as a principal. And it took a lot, you know, patience, forbearing, keep moving. Graduation's coming up for this year. But we all need patience because the promise is sure. Christ is coming. We just have to wait. We have to walk by faith and not by sight. Because Christ will not fail. He will return for those who are waiting for him. And so really the remedy is our theology is important. We need to know better who Christ is. Don't get confused. Don't have the water of your mind muddied by confusion, but keep reading, keep listening, keep hearing the word preached. Gather as God's people. This is what this is for. We're looking forward to that day when this foretaste that we have on the Lord's Day will be reality. No COVID, no masks. We'll see Christ face to face in that day. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Your word, as we've said, is above all words, and you cannot lie. And in the end, every word that is on the pages of Scripture will be shown to be true. We ask for your grace now, that if we are lagging, that you would grant us repentance. Above all, that we would see Christ more clearly and his great love for us, that our hardness of heart might be melted, that we might be delivered from our blindness. That as we take up the word, as we gather as your people, whether for now live streaming or here in person, that you would bless your word with your spirit, that it would speak to us in ways that never did before, maybe, or in greater measure, that we might be conformed to the image of your Son, because that is your good pleasure for us. And we pray for those who may not be in Christ yet, that they would awaken to their danger. Just like it's a wonderful thing to know if you have some deadly disease in the nick of time. We ask that would be the case for anybody who hears these words. We ask that you and your Son and the Holy Spirit would be glorified in all these things. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.